This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we are diving beneath the headlines on redistricting. Boston City Councilors are hurtling toward a deadline to redraw the city's electoral map again, after a judge put an injunction on the last version over the possibility that it may have overconsidered race. Councilors are set to consider four new proposals today. So here to tell us more, Gin Dumschus, managing editor of the Dorchester Reporter. Also joining us, two former Boston City Councilors. We have Tito Jackson, Mike Ross. They were from District 7, District 8. Welcome to all three of you. Gin?
Thanks for having me.
Tito?
Thank you.
And Mike?
Glad to be here.
Okay, so again, I'm going to ask you to sit tight. Our focus is redistricting. We will get to it in a minute. But first, I want to get reactions from you, Tito and Mike, quickly to the latest news about U.S. Attorney Rachel Rollins, found to have violated a range of federal ethics laws in two federal reports that came out on Wednesday, including seeking to influence last year's Suffolk County DA's race on behalf of Boston City Councilor Ricardo Arroyo, who was running in that race. Texts suggest that Arroyo supported her efforts. Now, in the last 24 hours, Boston City Councilor Aaron Murphy has called on Arroyo to resign. Boston City Council President Ed Flynn said in a statement yesterday, in part, that the situation, quote, cast a shadow, end quote, that the revelations were, quote, a major distraction during the redistricting process, end quote, and last quote, this is hurting our city at a critical time and the residents of Boston deserve better, end quote. So, a week of news there. Rollins preparing to resign formally today after announcing Tuesday that she would do so. Just looking for a minute each in reaction to the news as it stands today. Tito Jackson, I'll start with you.
Thank you. This is obviously a very sad occurrence and one that kind of hurts. It hurts the electorate as a whole. You never want to be in a situation where people don't think we're on the up and up. There are friends of mine who are involved in this. And so I think the piece here is how do we, as we talk about redistricting and the like, how do we keep the public's support as well as really the understanding that, hey, sadly, sometimes things like this happen, but these are still important issues. We still need you at the table. We still need you to engage. But again, you know, there's some heartache there for me personally.
Thank you, Tito. And Mike Ross, 1 minute, just reaction to the story as it stands today from you.
I just think, you know, this could not have come at a worse time. We're about to talk about redistricting and how to get that through. And, you know, that's a very political exercise. And the last thing you needed is just another scandal heaped on top of all of this. You know, notwithstanding that there are people's lives at stake, as Tito just mentioned, it's coming at a time when we know it's no secret that the council is very much divided. It's dealing with, you know, it's still kind of on the heels of this of the DA election, which was a divided process too in and of itself. So there are still kind of, there's still damage there on the council between members from that race. You have this whole redistricting process, which is very much a divided process, you know, a 9-4 kind of divide on the council. And this. So with one councilor calling for another to step down, and as you said, so I mean, it just makes everything that needs to happen in less than 2 weeks harder, and that's where we are.
So thank you for that, Mike Ross. And again, from the Dorchester Reporter, I'll turn to you. Mike just said everything that needs to happen in the next 2 weeks, and that is what we came here to talk about now. So let's turn to that, and I want to have you give us the quick context of how we got to a point where we have everything that needs to happen in the next 2 weeks. We redistrict every 10 years, right?
Yes, it happens after the U.S. Census.
All right. So when did the council pass the map in question, and how do we get to the point where the Boston City Council has to do it again in the next 2 weeks, just briefly?
Sure. So the City Council voted 9-4 to pass a map, and it was incredibly divided because what that map did was it split precincts in Dorchester that typically vote conservative. And it diluted their power by splitting them between two different districts. That spawned a lawsuit bankrolled by four of the councilors who voted against it. And now what's happened is a federal judge has ruled and said what the councilors did in their discussions, the race predominated discussions. And to be clear, redistricting is a multi-layered venture, and it involves many complex laws, voting rights laws. And race can be a factor, but it can't predominate. And what the judge said was she looked at the video and she said the plaintiffs who were upset with the map that passed last fall, they have a likelihood of success in seeking a preliminary injunction. So she ruled and kicked it back to the council and say, try again.
So Tito, has it ever been this hard before?
So we know that the judicial branch is usually there for oversight. They're not usually at the kitchen table in the way that they are doing at this time. Mike and I remember 2012. I do want to give it a little pat on the back right now for myself because the Jackson Amendment is, again, can I get a second on that one, please?
That's okay. The way it went down.
Is the map that currently is in place. And understand, we had four people of color on the council at that point. We now have six. We have more women on the council. We have a lot of good things that came out of that.
It's a significantly more diverse council than the last time the Boston City Council had to redistrict.
But this process, I started into this process. I was on the council for a year. And literally a year later, I ended up on the other side, right, of going back and forth around maps, about having these conversations. As Gin said, you can use race, but it has to be narrowly tailored. And there are requirements for what you're using it for. And this is this in many ways is the parochial aspect of the city. It is very political because there's these geographic components. But by the way, we all have to run for election if you're a district councilor. And so there are components around, hey, I live in, quote, and understand the city is broken up in large chunks, which are called wards, and then smaller chunks, which are called precincts. Well, you kind of want all of those wards and precincts to add up to what they added up to last election, which is you being in office, right? So that component is a critical piece. In my read right now, understand, they are actually much closer when you look at these maps together than they are apart. And so there are 8, 10, 12, maybe 15 precincts that people are kind of batting around. But this component around cohesion around that Dorchester area is what is going to be a requirement, I would think, in this next map.
And Mike Ross, I want to get to you, but Tito just said something that I'm going to turn back to Gin to for just one second. Gin, there was actually an expert who testified who said the new map is really not all that different. Is that correct?
Yeah, so this is a Tufts professor. She testifies on maps across the country, and she's a mathematician. And she said, similar to what Tito just said, like all of the maps, they don't make that many big changes. They're largely status quo maps, and that is because the councilors don't want to write themselves out of their district. They want to keep precincts that are good to them. They don't want to acquire new precincts where they have to introduce themselves to new voters. A lot of this is about self-preservation.
So we're talking with Gin Dumfries, Tito Jackson, Mike Ross, diving beneath the headlines on the controversy and challenge of redistricting. Mike Ross, let me turn back to you. Sort of looking to how we got here, what haven't we touched on yet that is important for us to know based on your experience as a Boston City Councilor?
Well, how to get this done is really that's everything, right? And it's a hard process. I have a little more gray hair than Tito Jackson, but he's coming on fast. So I actually went through two of these.
Ouch! One of them,
ouch! That was in 2002. Where Maureen Feeney, who's now a plaintiff, was actually the chair of the redistricting committee then. That worked. That went well. 2012, as Tito said, we had the Tito Amendment. I think it's the reason why we had two more district councilors of color today than we did then. It was a good map, a good process. It worked out. There were some moments, Councilor Lenihan trying to remove some of those Chinatown districts. There were definitely some fireworks. But we haven't seen this level of acrimony since probably 1983. When the district city councils were first introduced to Boston. And there, they actually did delay the election. Here, the election has not yet been delayed. However, the time to submit district councilor nomination papers has been extended. This is it. This is like, you know, whatever the sports metaphor you want to put in there, we are there. And so they have until next Wednesday, perhaps the Wednesday after, to get this done. And if not, if the plaintiffs aren't satisfied, then this could go to a special master. This could extend the elections. What I think the council has to do now is they have to, I mean, the lawyer, the judge was pretty good in her 45-page decision. I mean, you read it, there's not a lot of reading between the lines. It's pretty, it's all right there. She says that the violation of the Equal Protection Act was caused when the effort to remove the boot that she's referring to, which is like that Cedar Grove conservative Dorchester part, the southern part of Frank Baker's district in District 3, the district that Michael Flaherty described on the on the stand as voters would vote during a hurricane. Okay, that when they moved those precincts into District 4, into now Council Worrell's district, that seemed to offend the sensibility of the judge, and it kind of doesn't make sense given that that district, District 3, Frank Baker's district, needs to grow, not shed. And I think
based on the population counts from the census is what you're saying, Mike.
Yeah, and I'm getting to the weeds here, but let me sum it up like this. Any map that removes that boot, in my opinion, is DOA, and I think two of the four maps right now have a portion of that boot or that boot removed. And to get this done, I believe they're going to need to keep that boot.
Okay, so Tito, I'm going to come back to you in a second. I'm going to do a lightning round with you again to clarify a bunch of stuff Mike Ross just said. But first, Mike, when Mike Ross says four maps, the four proposals that could be considered today come from Mayor Wu and three councilors, Kendra Lara, Ruth Z. Louis-Jean, and Michael Flaherty. And those could all be on the table today.
Correct.
Now, again, I'm going to do a lightning round. I'm going to say some stuff Mike said, and you're going to clarify it. All right? 1983, District City Council is introduced. That means?
That means before that, they were citywide, and district seats got introduced in that year.
Okay. Paperwork has been extended means?
Legislature still has to approve it.
Okay.
So it hasn't been formalized. It's going to get speeded through the Beacon Hill.
But that means paperwork to file to?
June 23rd.
Right. And to run for office.
Signatures,
yes. Right. To run for office.
Yes.
And the election is currently in September, and it's a municipal election?
Correct. It's just city council. Mayor is not on there.
And if it's delayed, is there some, you know, like deadline, it can't be held after X date, or could it be, we don't know?
Well, in 1983, there was a similar court order, and the preliminary, I want to make sure, I got pushed back, as did the general election November. I believe in November, it was actually held November 15th.
All right. Somebody high-five that man for being able to do that lightning round that way. That was impressive.
Jeopardy.
That's right. All right. Now, Tito, everything Mike said, you were like, so let me just turn back to you because I know there's a layer you want to add.
Yeah. So I just want to give a shout out to all of the counselors. This is a hard thing to do. This is an unenviable task to have to do this and also to have to make changes even to your own districts. I would just encourage everyone to lean in. There is a greater good here. And I would even, when we look at District 3, the district in contention, when we drew that, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, we drew that as an opportunity district. Understand, that district is only about a third-ish white. Right. And so there is, that is an opportunity district for and when we say opportunity district for a person of color to potentially win it. Right. And so that's what we're talking about here. The other piece is that we are talking about power, and we're talking about the allocation of scarce resources. And so this is a very important time, in particular with schools. How are schools going to go? How does the economic infrastructure in the city of Boston go? How does public safety? All of those, this determines basically who's going to be able to sit at the table to divvy up what's on the plate. Because they like to say, if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. right? And so that's a critical component.
And so, Mike Ross, the implication of what Tito Jackson is saying there, with the, you know, the two of you being the former Boston City councilors, is this it will also be about diversity representation continuing in one direction with the city council or not. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a trend here that the council finally reflects the city racially as what the city is, its leadership. I mean, when I was first on the council, I think there were two people of color on the council, Charles Yancey and Chuck Turner. And today there are, help me, Tito.
Six.
Yeah, that's right. Six councilors of color, that which reflects, you know, far more. And he, and Councilor Tito's right. District 3 could easily be represented by a councils of color. I mean, the bottom line, though, is that race alone cannot be the lens in which this exercise goes forward. If that
by
is
law.
What this law goes forward, that will not. I don't think that will work. I mean, if the council can come together and settle on a map, and the plaintiffs are satisfied, this is over. But if we just repeat what just happened, as difficult as this process is, it's going to get a lot worse.
Gin Dumschitz of the Dorchester Reporter.
I agree with all that. I would also add that it's progressives versus conservatives, and there's also a generational component here too. It's very much kind of the younger counselors versus the older crowd. So it's definitely there's multiple layers on this thing, and you've got personality conflicts. Part of the problem right now is my understanding: the counselors, the different factions, are not talking to each other. That's why meetings like what's happening this afternoon are crucial, because they will have to deliberate about which precincts to give up or take.
You know, I remember a conversation, it must have been last fall, on a different subject, and political strategist Susan Tracy reflecting on a Boston City Council meeting that had happened earlier in the week, the really, really contentious one, as redistricting was unfolding, and saying that, you know, she felt like she hadn't seen anything like that in the city since busing. Right, that the level of contention, et cetera, and that has been hanging sort of like a chad for me right over this for the last couple of weeks. Again, Mike talked about the plaintiffs. Tito has talked about the plaintiffs. You've talked about the plaintiffs. There are new plaintiffs. So for 2 seconds, just hit that piece of it, because now there's a new group also seeking to be involved in this court proceeding.
Sure, and just to be clear, they're trying to be defendants.
Yes,
and this is some of the voting rights groups:
Thanks.
NAACP Boston, Chinese Progressive Association. They're unhappy with the way that the city handled the court case and defended the map, and they're unhappy with Wu's map, for Mayor Wu's map, for reasons that they have not really gone into, and they're you know targeting her, but they're looking to. Both defend the map that was passed last fall, and they're also trying to make sure that whatever is passed is palatable to them.
All right, so I'm going to try to keep this tight. About 60 seconds left, and what I'm going to do is, Mike and Tito, I'm going to ask each of you for the one piece of advice, given that you're seasoned in this, right? The one piece of advice you'd give to the council now. Mike Ross, you first.
They need to come together and. Step up and get this done and put egos aside and, easier said than done. We've been there, but that's what they need to do.
And Tito, how about you? Your advice?
Hey, we got smart folks at the table. Ruth Seeds, I looked at a New York Times article where she's done some of this stuff. These are our former colleagues. You can definitely get this done. We have to do this, and this is about the greater good and the future of the city of Boston. And we encourage you, and we love on you, and we nudge you. Let's get this done.
All right, Tito Jackson, former city councilor for District 7, now owns Apex Noir Cannabis in Boston. Mike Ross, former district councilor, District 8, now an attorney at Prince Lobel Thai LLP. And Gin Dumschitz, managing editor of the Dorchester Reporter. Thanks to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.